Johnson Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Donald Novitz, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Hallelujah. Attention car owners, another new labor-saving product is now offered to you by the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. The name of this new product is Johnson's Car New, C-A-R-N-U. It's a double-action cleaner and wax polish all in one. The job it does is little less than miraculous. Car New saves you time and work. You simply can't compare its fast action with the old difficult methods of car polishing. If your car is now foggy, streaked, and dirty, Car New will quickly take away all the ugly film. Give it a dazzling mirror-like polish that will amaze you. This new double-duty liquid polish goes on in a hurry, dries almost immediately to a white powder. Wipe off the powder with a clean cloth, and there stands your car with a dazzling wax polish, a car your family will be proud to ride in. You can easily do the job in an hour, and believe me, you call it an hour well spent. Car New both cleans and wax polishes in one simple operation. Buy a can of Johnson's Car New without delay at a filling station, auto supply store, garage, or from your regular wax dealer. You'll soon be saying with thousands of car owners, your car looks like new when you use Car New. Fibber has run out of cigars and has persuaded Molly to walk downtown with him to replenish his supplies. And here, walking along at the corner of 14th and Oak Street, Wistful Vista, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, I still don't know why we didn't take the car, dearie. Heavenly days, we've hardly used it.
Oh, I know, but I think it's a good idea now and then, Molly, to walk along the streets of your own town.
What's good about it?
Well, it brings you closer to things. It gives you the common touch.
Hey, buddy, can you spare a dime for a cup of coffee?
Ah, the common touch.
I'm kind of a little bit sort of short of change, bud, but here's a nickel.
Okay, I'll get a dimmy, Cassie. Thanks, Doc.
McGee, I don't think he really wanted coffee. His nose was awful red.
Yeah. So's your Uncle Dennis's. Look at all the black coffee he has to drink.
Say, I'll have you know, dearie, that me Uncle Dennis is a teetotaler.
You got something there. All the tea that guy ever drunk wouldn't total half a pint. Well, I remember one night I looked out the window and seen him peeking into the mailbox down to the corner. And you know what he was saying?
What was he saying?
He was saying, come on out and fight, Jim Farley.
Well, he shouldn't have done that. You know, Mr. Farley's twice as big as Uncle Dennis.
Well, I just mentioned, oh, there's Harpo Wilcox. Hi, Harpo.
Oh, where are you going in such a hurry, Mr. Wilcox?
I'm going down to buy some fireworks.
Fireworks? What's your hurry?
Why, 4th of July is 5 weeks away.
I know it, but I always start early. You see, I give firecrackers as premiums to all my Johnson Wax customers.
Oh, I suppose the idea is that Johnson's Wax does such a bang-up job.
Yes, sir, but not only that, it emphasizes the fact that Johnson's Wax saves so much time and trouble for a housewife that every day is Independence Day.
Oh. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Well, I'll see you later, folks. I gotta hurry.
Smart guy, Harpo. I hope our sponsors notice the boom in our side business. Careful crossing the street here, Molly. Better let me take your arm before some truck driver takes your leg.
Say, you just take care of yourself, dearie. Remember the time you got your heel caught in the car track? You held up traffic for 4 hours.
Yeah. It would have been longer than that if some genius hadn't suggested I take my shoe off.
Hello, daughter. Want to buy some homemade peanut brittle? It's nutty. but nice.
No, thank you, Mr. Oldtimer. Not today.
Hey!
She says, no, we don't want any, Oldtimer. Personally, I hate to lose dignity by arguing with a hunk of candy, but it never agrees with me.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I hear it. One fella says to the other fella, see, he says, I just read an article that says the human body is 65% water. Wonderful news, ain't it? Sure is, says t'other fella. Next time I want to play poker with the boys, I can sneak out through the hydrant. Well, sorry, you don't want any peanut brittle, kids. Kind of like himself. I'm a little deaf, and with this stuff, I can always tell when I'm through eating. Well, so long, Johnny. Goodbye, daughter. Nice fresh peanut brittle. Monkey wrench with every box to tighten the nuts. Get your peanut.
Oh, McGee, look.
Huh?
Isn't that the sweetest pair of shoes in the window? Those beach clogs with the platform soles.
Gee, I'd like to get a pair of them myself. I'm so short that whenever I go to the beach, I can't see anything.
What?
Oh, hi, Don.
Well, hello, Fibber and Molly. Where are you bound for?
We're going down to the cigar store, Mr. Novus. And McGee has run out of cigars.
Well, I don't blame him. If I smoked the kind of cigars he does, I'd run out, too.
Yeah, he was blowing smoke rings last summer up at the lake, and they're still using four of them for life preservers.
Ain't so.
I understand he stole three of them to the fire department for horse collars.
Now, listen here, you two. Just because I... If a guy can't... Why don't you sing something, Norman?
I'm going to. I'm going to sing I'm Building a Sailboat of Dreams.
Oh, that's fine, Don. Folks, Donald Nova sings... I'm building...
Oh! Wait a minute, McGee. Do you hear that? There's an
extra out. Extra, extra. Broke nonstop. Yeah, read all about it. Knock, oh, man. Extra, extra.
What's it all about, Bud? I can't understand a word you say.
Of course you can't, you dope. If you could, we wouldn't sell any papers.
I'll take one, boy.
Okay, lady, thanks. Extra, extra, read all about it. Not my quadrant. Extra, extra.
What's it say, Molly?
Heavenly day. A big prison break.
Prison break?
Five desperate criminals escaped from Wistful Vista Penitentiary.
Oh.
Citizens are warned to be on guard against convicts believed still lurking in this vicinity.
Well, you can't blame them much after being cooped up all those years. They just wanted to get out and take a little lurk around.
You aren't nervous, are you, Molly?
Well, I am a little nervous, Mr. Nervous. With all them convicts loose and all, I'm not sure I locked the back door. And I know I left my diamond ring on the dressing table.
Uh-oh. Hey, I better hurry home. Hurry back as soon as you get your cigars, dearie.
Okay, Molly. He's kind of upset at that, Donna. I better get down to the cigar store. How do you want to go into this number? Cold or with a fancy build-up?
Well, my agent told me that...
Folks, Donald Nova sings, I'm building a sailboat of dreams. Shipyard Effects by Billy Mills. Take it, Don.
Dream.
That was Donald Nova singing, "I'm Building a Sailboat of Dreams." Don, you sung so beautifully, I bet there ain't a dry dock in the house. Well, I better get them cigars and hurry home. Molly's probably kind of nervous on account of that escape. Whoops, I'm sorry, sis. I didn't see you coming.
Well, look where you're going there, Skippy.
Uh-oh.
Can't a girl go roller skating without everybody bumping into her? Huh? One side there. Let me by.
Hey, man. Ain't you a little old and brittle to be zipping around on them Bunyan Buicks?
What? I don't know about that, Shorty. I got to keep in training for next winter.
In training?
Yeah, I'm a goalie on the hockey team. And golly, the goalie. Let me by there. Whoopee!
Great gal for a hockey team of that. I can just hear the sizzle when that red hot mama hits the ice. Well, oh, hi, Harpo. Oh, I see you got your firecrackers.
Yeah, swell assortment, too.
Let's see them.
Oh, they're just ordinary firecrackers. I guess I told you what I wanted them for. You see, whenever I start to tell one of my customers about Carnew, say, Fibber, get your face out of this bag with that lighted cigar.
Oh, okay, Harpo.
Well, when I talk to my customers about Carnew, I say, Carnew, that remarkable new Johnson product, is as easy to apply as a match to a bunch of firecrackers.
Must have dropped a spark in.
Now, they've exploded. They've exploded the old theory that you have to wear yourself out to get a beautiful polish on your car. Why, nothing annoys a car owner more than a dingy, dusty car. And with Carnew, everyone reports that it's sensationally easy to use. You just apply Johnson's Carnew over the clean surface of your car, and bingo, bingo, there's your car with a gleaming salesroom wax polish. I tell you, folks, Johnson's Carnew is destined to be the most popular automobile polish on the market. Excuse me, Fibber. I got to run back and get some more firecrackers.
You think he's the guy who used to tell me I'd get pinched someday for shooting off my mouth inside the city limits. Uh-oh, here's the cigar store. Oh, hi, Maury. How are you stocked up on them old McGee smokeroos?
You are still owing me for the last 100 cigars, McGee.
Okay. How much?
$1.25.
$1.25, eh? Okay, here you are. Give me another 200. Say, did you hear about them convicts escaping? What'd they do, dig a tunnel?
They tried that and gave it up. They dug a tunnel 500 feet long and came up in the First National Bank. None of them had an account there, so they had to go back.
That's too bad. 200 feet south, and they'd have come up in the laundry and made a clean getaway. I understand they're pretty tough characters, eh, Maury?
Well, I guess so. At least they didn't post no cops in the woods in case they're stopping to pick wildflowers.
Speaking of wildflowers, I hope these cigars are as strong as my last ones. You got them ready for me, Maury?
Sure. Will you take them with you, or shall I give them the address and let them walk over?
That's okay. Let them walk over. But you better wait till dark. All they got on is their wrappers.
Oi!
Be a bad idea at that to hurry home and keep an eye on things. I guess I better get...
Oh, how do you do, Mr. McGee?
Oh, hi, Uppy. Hey, what you doing in front of a cigar store? This ain't one of your hangouts, is it, Uppy?
Mr. McGee, please, what a horrid insinuation. I was merely walking past on my way to the ladies' club. We're rehearsing for our annual play, and I am playing the title role.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Well, what is it this year, Uppy? Dead End? No. Oh, I know. I'll bet you do the washcloth bit and angels with dirty faces.
Oh, not at all, Mr. McGee. No. We're presenting Snow White and the Six Dwarfs.
Seven Dwarfs, wasn't it, Uppy?
Yes. But when Mrs. Bingham Boynton simply refused to play the part of Steppy, we can't understand it. Gladys has always been so willing before.
Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't think the part was fat enough for her. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be Snow White, are you, Uppy? What are you going to do for a glass coffin?
Oh, that's very simple, really, Mr. McGee. Mr. Smith in the delicatessen is loaning us a glass showcase.
Oh,
do I? I do hope I shall be able to go through with it until the prince rescues me. It simply reeks of ham, you know.
Who, the prince?
Oh, no, Mr. McGee. You know, a showcase.
Oh.
Well, I must be getting on now. Oh, it's quite warm, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll say it is. I'll be hotter than a $2 pistol. I kind of worked up a sweat myself.
Please, Mr. McGee, a gentleman never horses sweat. Men perspire, and women glow. And I simply must be glowing. I mean, glowing.
Good old Uppy. Some of them club women remind me of a dollar alarm clock. Full of good work, sound awful busy, and never quite on time. Let's see, what was I going to do here?
Well, for scream's sake, Fizzer, what are you doing standing around on the street like a fragrant without any home?
Just come downtown to get some cigars, Nick, but I got to go right back home.
Hey, I'm just meeting Mr. Wilcox down the street.
Oh, you did, eh?
Sure, and he's having a big bag full of firecrackers, torpedoes, pin whistles, sky rackets, and Roman candlesticks. He's going to celebrate in the Declaration of Independence push a little prematurely, isn't he?
No, he's giving them away for premium. You going away for the fourth, Nick?
No, Fizzer, I think I'm staying here because my little boy, Demetrios, is being personally selected to make a recitation of a patriotic poetry.
Oh, what's he going to recite, Nick?
The recitation he's going to give is a very famous poetry, which the name of it is being The Middle of the Night Ride of Paul Revolver. It is going something like this. Listen, my squeegees, and get a load of a man who is galloping down the road.
Never mind, Nick. I'm familiar with that poem, and I got to get home. Molly's worried about them escaped convicts.
Oh, but Fizzer, every good United States of America citizen should have some refreshments for his memory of this great poetry.
Oh.
One if by land, and two if by sea, and three if by railroad. It's okay with me. A man is now alive, and if he is, he's more than 75, who remembers that famous push day and year. Say, Fizzer, would you like a glass of beer?
No, thanks, Nick. I told you I had to hurry home because...
For the money and two for the show. Paul Revolver was ready to go when he hung up a signal in a steeple and Paul was watching. He was pretty smart people.
Please, Nick, I can't...
Through every middle-sized village and farm, the Redskins are coming. He gave the alarm. It's a good thing he did, too, or it would be just too bad. And George Washington is the first president we ever had. Oh, that is a wonderful poetry, Fisher. And it is teaching us a big lesson, too, that horseback rides is just going to show that there has been more than one patriotic cancer in our history. Well, so long, Fisher. See you later.
More than one patriotic cancer. Take it, silly.
Jonah was a man, got a word from the Lord to go and preach the gospel to a sinful land. He got on a ship and he tried to get away, and he ran into a storm in the middle of the sea. For the Lord, he made the waves just to roll so high. The ship began to sink and they all began to cry. They pulled old Jonah out of the hole, and they chucked him in the water just to lighten up the load. Now the Lord made a whale long and wide. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? And he swallowed up Jonah, hair and hide. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Jonah started to pray in the belly of the whale. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? He repented of his sins like a man in jail. Lordy, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Jonah must have been a bad man, must have been a sinner. Lordy, Lord, wasn't that a fish? When the whale got him down, he didn't like the dinner. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Whoop, he had to set him free. Lord, Lordy, but wasn't that a fish? The whale spit Jonah out on dry land. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? And he went on to preaching like a righteous man. Oh, Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? Then people quit the sin when they heard him in the town. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? When you hear the trumpet call, don't you turn the gospel down. Followed by the lesson of the gospel tale of Jonah.
Folks, that was the four notes singing Jonah and the Whale. and they wham, and they wham back over the... Oh, no. That was another seafood opera. Sweep the leaves off from under this car. I suppose Molly's got all the doors barricaded and is pointing my shotgun at the chimney. I wish she wasn't
now
for that.
Listen, lady, be reasonable.
Must have company. I wonder who that is.
Listen, sister, you make one more move toward that window and we bop you, see?
Yeah, you're after us, see? We ain't taking no chances.
Oh, dear, I wish McGee was here.
Oh, my gosh, them convicts. They got Molly. What'll I do? Well, I'll run next door and phone for the cops. I hope Molly keeps cool. If I get back out, I have the cops over here in 5 minutes. Oh, hello, little girl. Will you ask your mom if I can use the phone? Quick.
No.
Oh, come on, you gotta.
Why?
It's a matter of life and death.
Hmm?
No. Oh, come on, sis, quit stalling. Hurry up. Ask your mom if I can use the phone.
I can't do it, I betcha.
Well, why not?
Oh, well, my mom isn't here.
Well, who is here?
Me.
Ain't there anybody? I mean, can't stop. Listen, sis, I'm coming in and use that phone.
Okay, mister.
Huh? Well, where is it?
Where's what?
The telephone, Dad. That is the telephone. Ought to be here in the hall someplace. Where is it, sis? Hurry up.
They took it out, I bet
you. Oh. Listen, sis, this is urgent. I got to get to a telephone. Where's the nearest place I can telephone?
Right here.
Huh?
We got a telephone.
I thought... Dad, Braddock, you said they took it out.
Sure they did, I bet you. They took it out of the hall and they put it in the dining room.
Oh. Why does everything have to happen to me?
Did you ever have the mumps?
No, I never had the mumps.
Well, then everything hasn't happened to you.
Please, sis, there's burglars in our house. I gotta call the police. Where's the telephone?
In the dining room. Right there, you see?
Oh.
A nickel?
Oh, no. Dad, Braddock, not a cent of change with me, and this would be a nickel phone.
No, it isn't, mister.
Well, why'd you ask me if I had a nickel?
Hmm?
Oh, listen, sis. Let me make this phone call, and we'll discuss finances later.
Oh, no, you don't.
Huh?
No. When the other neighbors use our telephone, they give me a nickel. And one $5 is the way I do business.
Okay, I'll give you a nickel. I'll give you a dime. I'll give you a quarter. Here, give me that phone. Hello? Quiet, sis, I'm telephoning. Hello, operator. This is an emergency. Give me the police.
Please. You can have it for a penny.
Hello, police station. This is Fibber McGee, 79 Wistful Vista.
Thank you.
You know them convicts that escaped? Well, they're in my house, at 79 Wistful Vista, see?
Thank you.
Listen, officer, get the squad cars out right away. And tell them to take it easy because they got my wife in there with them. I'd have busted in there myself, but there was no use throwing my own wife away.
You can have it for a penny.
Okay, officer, thanks, and tell them to hurry. I heard them through the door, and they're pretty desperate. Okay, officer.
Where's my quarter, mister?
Oh, I got time now, sis. I'll see you later.
Hmm?
I said, don't bother me now. I'll take... I gotta get home.
Okay, mister. But it seems to me that it takes a pretty despicable character to default on a business arrangement with a lady. Particularly when she has afforded him every facility to restore his loved ones to the great American ideal of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I'll never make fun of a policeman again. Oh, I hope Molly's all right. I shouldn't have let her go home alone like that, sir.
You'll get hurt. Where does Fibber McGee live?
I don't know. He lives right over there. I mean, he's the one. I'm him. I'm Fibber McGee.
Well, quit stalling then. Tell us where them convicts are.
Yes?
Get out the riot guns, boys, and the tear gas, boys.
Now, listen, Captain. Go easy on the shooting. My wife's in there. And them guys have been threatening her. I don't want nothing to happen to her.
Well, we'll do the best we can. Murphy!
Yes, sir?
Moskowitz!
Aye, aye, sir.
Come in the back door. Lenahan, Goldberg, O'Toole. Climb the trees and cover the upstairs window. All right, McGee. Now, when I rap on the door and ask them to surrender, if they don't answer, you speak to your wife. Understand?
Oh, okay. I guess I gotcha.
Well, come on, then. All right, you men in there. Come out quietly and you won't be hurt. The house is surrounded. Do you hear me?
Oh, my gosh. You don't suppose that...
Call your wife, McGee, and see if she answers.
Molly! Molly!
Well, it's about time you got home, McGee. What are you doing with the policeman?
Molly, are you all right? I mean,
he told us them escaped convicts was in here, lady.
Sure they were. I heard at least four tough guys talking in here not more than 10 minutes ago.
Why, McGee, you never... Oh, that.
What happened, Molly?
Oh, I was wishing you could have been here to hear him, McGee.
Who, them convicts on the lam?
No, gangbusters on the radio.
Bibber and Molly will be back in just a moment. And now, your attention, please. These pleasant spring days were surely meant for enjoyment. And no sensible woman wants to stay in the house scrubbing floors when the warm sun is calling her out of doors. Let me remind you, then, that you can forget about scrubbing when your floors and linoleum are gleaming with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. You'll be glad every day when you see your beautiful lustrous floors and discover that dirt can't stick to the shining glow coat polish. And don't neglect your porch floor. Do you remember how the dirt collected on it last summer? Well, just put a little glow coat on that porch floor and see how much cleaner it will stay. You know, of course, that glow coat requires no rubbing or buffing. It never streaks or smears. It dries in 20 minutes to a glossy polish that seals the cracks against dirt and stains. But be sure you get the real thing. GLO-COAT. Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. The easy-to-use liquid polish that gives brighter luster, longer wear.
Heavenly days. I haven't seen so many cops since the time I was crowned queen of the 14th precinct at the policeman's ball.
Well, them cops was just an extra precaution, Mom. My first impulse was to rush in and clean them hoodlums up single-handed.
I bet you could have done it, too, dearie.
Why, sure. Say, I could. I was raised with a pretty tough gang back in Peoria, remember? That is, till they threw me out.
What'd they throw you out for?
They caught me carrying a handkerchief. Good night.
Good night, all.
Visit the New York World's Fair, you'll be sure to see the 15 beautiful model homes in the town of tomorrow. On all the floors and woodwork of these homes, Johnson's wax polishes are used exclusively. This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat at Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.